Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. The Lone Bellow joins us today, playing in front of an audience at World Cafe Live. The very popular three-piece folk rock band from Brooklyn with roots in the South released their self-titled debut in 2013, which did very well, and their second album then came the morning in January. The new album was produced by The National's Aaron Dessner. We'll talk in a moment after a live performance of the title track.
Like the light that you kept from your smile. Then came the morning, like the flood from the storm that you kept from my heart. Take the dawn with you when you leave. Wash my hands of all this broken knee. Never forget what you thought you'd never be. The morning, like the flood from your storm that you kept from my heart. Take my words, breathe them out of tone. But every single letter that I wrote, let the pages turn to ash. I don't want them back. Everything you always said to me starts to sound like broken glass on streets, spreading out over places where I sleep. How you finally let me jump with all your lying. Joy comes in the morning. You won't see me crying. Then came the morning. It was bright like the light that you kept from your smile. Then came the morning.
Live on stage at World Cafe Live, an amazing performance of the song that is the title song and begins the new The Lone Bellow album, their second one. A lot different than their first one. They had some time and did some cool things with that. And we have a chance to talk with Zach, Kanine, and Brian about making this record, about these songs, about all things Lone Bellow. And welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot for coming in. Did that song, Then Came the Morning, which is such a great song, and your performance, you know, I thought it was just the harmonies in that, but everything about it is just fantastic. Did that kind of pop out as a great song as you guys were working on it?
Oh, man. I don't know.
We had a week after we were done touring where we were finishing some songs and writing new material, and I think that's when you brought the idea for the chorus, right?
Yeah.
And he had just watched some late Vegas era Elvis career videos. So
I went down quite the rabbit hole of that.
Which we were like, we will go there with you. but I think we just thought it would be fun to have those big, like, open vowel kind of chorusy harmonies, and then really just wrote the song in that little session in our friend's house.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we haven't talked to you guys since this was sort of just starting. You know, I mean, not just starting for you because you've been at it for a while, but you just released that first album, and you gave a performance not unlike what we saw today, just an amazing amount of energy. And so you went out, and how long did you tour that? You toured that for a good long time, and was it important for gelling things?
Mm. Absolutely. When we made that first record, we had played a handful of shows in New York City. You know, we had our jobs and everything.
And one show here.
When we got the opportunity to leave our jobs and tour for a living, I think that's when we really started figuring out what a band was. Like, outside of our ambiguous definition of it as kids, it's like, okay, you have to learn how to take care of each other. You have to learn how to fight. And it's all a part of the creative process. It all falls in to creating.
Because you all had, you know, different solo careers going and coming together. It's a big choice. Mm-hmm. Did it feel big at the time when you did it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it felt right. I don't know if we had expectations of, like, for the first record. We were on the road pretty much until the summer when we started doing this record. But the songs changed, and we actually became a band because we were playing these songs, like, live every night, mm-hmm. and, you know, figuring them out and figuring out how to do that together. You
yeah,
know?
And we would be headlining, and we had a 45-minute record and a 90-minute set. So in, like, the 2 years between now and when we released the first record, we've been touring it pretty much the whole time. But I feel like a lot of what comes out in this new record is us kind of learning how to tailor songs to different situations, like huge crowds or tiny crowds, or, like, you know, when you have a lot of time or you have very little time to make an impression, like, what are the different things that you do to keep people, you know, in it with you, and where do you want to take them? And I think all those experiences kind of bled into...
Or where do they want to take us?
Where do they want to take us? But yeah, it all bled into this record, and I think the songs that we chose for it.
Well, I kind of have a vision of the band from here in Philadelphia because you guys have immediately struck a nerve with people here. Did that... I mean, you're really hard to resist when you're putting it out there on stage, I got to admit. But did that happen everywhere where there, you know... I think people assume you're a huge band, but I heard you're still in a van.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Still in a van.
Still driving ourselves.
Well, we live in Brooklyn, and the rent is a little higher than maybe where other bands are based out of. Yeah, I mean, we have gotten just such an encouraging reception of our music all over the place. It's been awe-inspiring. Mm-hmm.
You give credit to everybody in the songwriting on this album, and that's a great thing for a group, I would think, because in years from now, when you're waiting for that check in the mail, you'll all get one.
We can all go on vacation together.
But I assume that different people have different inputs on different songs. There's a great song that you put way up on the list on this disc, and it's very different than the opener, Then Came the Morning. It's called Fake Roses. Mm-hmm. A great song that you could see a classic country artist doing. How did that one come about?
Yeah, it's a song about my my mother-in-law and her sister. They live in Lafayette, Georgia, and it's kind of like this 80s ladies, like, country gothic memories in the back of my mind, and they both had very similar situations happen to them when they were young, like, just, like, hard marriages and this and that, and the chorus is, you know, it says, "Your heart is breaking, I hear what it's saying, you don't have to tell me anything." They have that type of relationship with each other where they completely understood each other's situations so much that they didn't even have to talk about it. And they're the, like, Southern women that...
You gonna say their names?
Edna and Fredna.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wonderful, wonderful so souls. Awesome. My heroes. So, yeah, I mean, this record, we it's one of the reasons why we did the artwork that we did, where we sent down our friend Mackenzie Rollins to go down where we're from, and she went and knocked on people's doors and interviewed them, like, literally had coffee with people, and then would take a picture of them. And like, the front picture is a place called, is from a place called Lois's Diner, and she, it's my family's, it's one of their favorite diners where I'm from, and she went there like 4 days in a row, and that woman that you see on the front was there every morning and had a whole bunch of bacon and,
like, burnt bacon
and she was just, like, all done up, and that's just how she started her day. So when I saw that picture, I was just like, what a beautiful story of a human being just, like, taking control of her reality.
Well, go online and look at the cover of Then Came the Morning while you listen to this. This is Fake Roses.
When the wind sweeps through.
Live on stage at World Cafe Live, our guest today, The Lone Bellow, and that's a song called Fake Roses from the new album Then Came the Morning, an album that these Southern people made in Brooklyn where they live with Aaron Dessner. I'm always kind of amazed because there is so much about the South on this record. In terms of some of the gospel style, performing things you do, and just everything. I always scratch my head about Brooklyn. But Aaron Dessner, right? Can't get more Brooklyn than Aaron Dessner. and you worked with him on this record. So yeah. What did he bring? What were you looking for, first of all?
Well, when we first, our like tour manager / creative director man, Chris Pereira, read an interview with Aaron and Matt. He was like, man, the way that these guys talk about creating and friendship, if there's ever an opportunity where we could work with them, we should jump on that. And then we found out that they lived like across the park in Brooklyn. And when I went and met him, he just has this like, this meekness to him that was really interesting to me. And I went back and told the band, it's like, hey, I met this guy, I want you guys to come over and meet him. Like, okay. And then a couple weeks later we went over there and we were talking shop and talking about how we made the national records and, you know, the local natives and this and that. And I was like, will you play that record, just the vocal takes of that record that you just did? And he played it and it was just
La Luke.
Yeah.
And it was just arresting. So he had the idea of going up to Dreamland Studios, which is an old abandoned church turned into a studio back in the 1960s outside of Woodstock, New York. And he had the three of us in the sanctuary standing together. And he had the vocal mics, but he also had mics like in the ceilings on the floors. So I feel like that room ended up being one of the instruments that are
Definitely.
Just like quietly recorded.
And you automatically have a great blend with different sonics from all those mics and stuff. That's very cool.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Well, perfect thing to go into Watch Over Us, which is one where you guys kind of strip it down a little bit. Any insight into this one before we hear it, Brian?
That was a beautiful one because that was one we wanted to capture like live, like we do at the shows. So we'd all get up the nerve and try to do it, and we probably sang it 25 times in that church. But we'd get on one mic, and when we get the nerve, we sing it, and we finally captured it like we were 10 days, so probably 8 days into it, but we were pretty excited about it. But you know, the song's just about like I just met my now wife. And she was taking a nap on the couch, and she was all peaceful, and I was probably worried about something that really didn't matter. My head was kind of crazy, and I just saw her so peaceful, and I kind of wrote those words down, and that's what it's about.
This is just an incredibly beautiful performance of Watch Over Us.
Watch over us. Watch over us. When my hands are tied, when my strength is gone, Mama, your babies shrouded in sorrow. You've had your time, but who has tomorrow? Watch over us. Watch over us. Father, your sickness lives here in me. I don't need no crown, don't need no glory. You've had your life, and that ain't my story. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm almost level to the ground, but my baby's sleeping. Watch over us. Watch over us.
Lone Bello live on the Cafe today. They've got a new album called Then Came the Morning, and that gorgeous song, Watch Over Us. You know, I make fun of you guys being in Brooklyn, but watching your performance and the energy you have, I just got this vision in my head of huge arena stage, lots of risers, and did you guys make a wrong turn? Should you have gone to Nashville?
No.
You vile temptress.
We love Nashville. We do love Nashville.
And you spent some time there, right?
Yeah, I was there for like 5-6 years.
Yeah, my brother lives there with my nieces.
A lot of good friends.
And we love Nashville, but I think for all of us, New York is just where we want to be. And it's, I don't know, I couldn't give it up. I moved to New York from Beijing, so I think if I moved anywhere less urban, I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Sometimes we just fill our apartment with smog.
That's how I feel at home. No, New York has really become, I feel like the other member of the band, because we have a whole group of people who have really made this music what it was. Because you have artists in every single arena. You have amazing people who are working so hard just to make ends meet and have this fire underneath them. So we had people making our videos, and some of those videos were the reasons we got picked up by NPR. And, you know, we couldn't have done it without the people we know there. And now Zach has 3 little girls and they're growing up there, and you just feel rooted.
Congratulations on this record. It's a really, really good one. And, it's tough to do that second one. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.